In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks, Andy, and everybody that filled in for me this past week. I appreciate it very much. Dan on Saturday on Drive Radio, Andy during the week. I know Rachel Keene was there. She helped on Thursday, I know. Susan Kochevar, of course, Marie Christine, all of you. I really do appreciate each and every one of you helping out as I was gone. I appreciate it very much. I got a few stories to share with you along those lines as well. Charlie always asks me, what's the one thing I can bring back from vacation that's memorable? And I have a couple of things that I'll mention here throughout the program today. And I appreciate each and every one of you listening and really sticking in and listening to Andy and all the crew and really the different perspectives they bring that sometimes I don't have. And I appreciate that very much. Impossible question of the day. And you can answer this again on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 18% of people admit doing this as a guest in someone's home, and the hint is kitchen. So 18% of people admit to doing this as a guest in someone's home, and the hint is kitchen. And Charlie, I don't have the I try to not do much in someone else's home unless I'm asked to do so. I try to just be that little mouse, and you know, I know that's not my normal personality, but I try to not overstep my bounds when I'm in someone else's house. I try to just, you know, visit and do what you need to do. And, you know, yeah, I'm kind of a neat freak. So if I'm in somebody's house where it's not quite perfect, yeah, my mind is racing, you know, wanting to do all sorts of things. But I refrain and I don't, because I know that would be rude. So I don't really have an answer to this. I don't know what 18% of people admit to doing in someone else's home. And the hint would be kitchen. Charlie, I don't know. Well, Charlie says making their own snack. Ooh. Or what about the midnight snack, Charlie? Running into the kitchen in the middle of the night, rummaging through, trying to find something to eat. I've had guests actually do that, by the way, where you just kind of tell the next morning somebody was, you know, not that it mattered, but, you know, people get up and they start rummaging around looking for something to eat, I guess, in the middle of the night. So if you've got an answer on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. I think Charlie's actually probably very close. I do not have an answer for that. So Charlie, again, always asks me, what do I learn, you know, on vacation? What do I bring back? I think on this one, just like a few of the others I've had since I started going on vacation again after a year of not with COVID, is every one of these I go on, I just feel more and more that people are just fed up with the whole COVID mask distancing, the whole nine yards. And I get it. It's probably in some cases here to stay, although I've got some numbers today I want to share where I would argue that, yes, we probably are in a pandemic, and the fact that this is a virus that has affected the entire world, although if you look at the actual numbers that are out there and even the amount of people that have died, and by the way, the press will continue to highlight that, especially in the U.S., but I'll give you the exact numbers of that here in a minute. But I think the one thing that I learned being gone, and this is in relation to my brother, who, by the way, on his way to the airport on the shuttle had a big to-do with other folks informing him of his not wearing his mask over his nose, and most of you know my brother's condition, and those of you that don't and maybe are just joining us, you know, those that are maybe are just joining me, you know, he has got brain cancer and most likely could even get a pass when it comes to wearing a mask altogether, probably could get a medical exemption of that. And the reality is he had people on the shuttle really getting after him for not wearing his mask over his nose. And I think, not getting all the details of what happened there, but I think for me, what that always tells me, or what that's a reminder of me, is you never know what's going on in someone else's life. So be really slow to judge someone else in those particular situations. And I think it's even a reminder to me that, you know, that mom, that single mom maybe that's got the out of control kid, or, you know, all these situations that you see that we're usually very judgmental in, you know, we should probably stop and think twice about that, because we really don't know what's going on in another person's life. And I realize sometimes it's just the other person being a total loser. I get that. But, you know, in some cases, there could be a lot going on in another person's life that we know nothing about. And you know what? Maybe that particular day, maybe that particular moment, they just need a pass. And in this particular case, that's what needed to happen. And yet there were two individuals on the shuttle bus that did not give my brother a pass. And frankly, had I been on that shuttle bus, these two guys probably would have black eyes at the end of the day, because I wouldn't have put up with it. So that's just me. I don't put up with that nonsense. And I think, again, to Charlie's point, you know, what am I always reminded of when I come back from something like that? Well, that was one thing. Always think twice about judging someone else until you're actually, you know, in their shoes in that particular situation. And then overall, again, I just think people are getting, you know, getting irritated and getting tired of COVID. I've got more that I'll talk about on that. I've got some stats for you as well. Real quick, though, before we take our break, Dr. Anthony Harper joining us now. Dr. Harper, how are you today, sir?
I'm very thankful, John. Some hot new developments here at the White House. And
let's hear it.
Yeah, well, the issue is that I got a letter from the White House Correspondents Association Friday night last week, and they're saying that the White House is complaining that they don't have the funds to pay for my COVID-19 testing.
Well, they seem to have enough funds to do everything else they need to do there.
Yeah,
and then some
about the illegals and free health care for everyone.
Yeah, Dr. Anthony Harper, I could run down a list of things they waste money on, so that's a poor excuse in my opinion.
Right, and so this is a big issue regarding freedom of the press, because they are paying for the COVID-19 testing of other journalists, but not me and some others.
So what do they come back with as the reason they're being selective in how they do that?
They really don't have a reason. They just say that they'll cover it for just those that have been chosen by the White House Correspondents Association to be in the pool, the press pool that day. But they won't cover us. But, the search probably, you think, about $170 for me to pay.
Yeah, I just had one done a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, they're not cheap, Dr. Harper. I'm very aware of that. And most insurance companies, by the way, don't pay for them.
Right. And, it's very, very troubling. And, of course, they have also given the option for journalists to come up with a more economic, more affordable plans, but you have to jump through a lot of hoops to comply with the White House guidelines, and they don't openly say what the guidelines are.
Interesting. Okay, so what can we do to help that?
Well, first of all, people have to pray a lot, you know, for the good media. For myself, as a Christian journalist, there specifically to ask the Biden administration what they're going to do to combat anti-Semitism, which is on the rise. And I've got some key questions to get in there and meet with the press secretary, Jennifer Psaki, about.
Okay. Any ETA on that, or are they stonewalling? What are they doing there?
I don't seem to be stonewalling. I think she's still circling back.
Ah, that does not surprise me.
Is that a subliminal message?
That's kind of what she does. Yes.
Steward.
Yes.
But it's really, really troublesome what's happening. And what you think about in light of the Equality Act that's being being sent to the Senate. And I would just read you about a news report. Utah, a representative there, and Stewart has an alternative to the Equality Act.
What's
the Fairness for All Act.
Yeah, and what's the attitude like when it comes to both of those in regards to, you know, will the first one, of course, make it through? You know it's going to make it through the House. What do they think about making it through the Senate, or is there any idea on that yet?
Oh, there's a battle. I would say that it's unlikely that it would pass. You know, the LDS Church just recently came out with a report opposing the Equality Act. And so that it's going to be, it's still a fight on this matter. And we have this issue of cancel culture. That's another issue. But this is a great impact, this Equality Act, on our Judeo-Christian values, our freedoms.
And for those that are listening, Dr. Harper, that may not know exactly what that act is, can you kind of summarize that briefly, what they're trying to pass?
Yes, well, briefly, this is an expansion of the Civil Rights Act. So it would include the wording of sexual, gender, sexual preference. It really impacts more overall. It's a redefining of human sexuality.
Yeah, and so let me explain that to folks that may not understand this, but like, say I'm a pastor of a church or executive pastor of a church, any church, by the way, Dr. Harper, and maybe my particular church defines, you know, a man is a man, a woman is a woman, and in a lot of cases, I know there's a few churches that have exceptions to this, but in most cases, churches believe in, you know, one male, one female, marriage of such, and so on. And of course, when we start talking about people that work in the church and the ministry, we like-minded individuals to work in the ministry alongside of those individuals that are there. And up until this act, churches have had the ability to hire like-minded individuals. This would change that, right?
Yeah, because there is no religious exemption in that Equality Act. I've read through all of it. I didn't see one religious exemption. So that's a very significant issue that impacts the operation of the church. It's a wide impact on a lot of matters. We think thinking about foster care,
right?
Issues about girls, women's sports, girls, women's locker
right.
rooms,
right.
bathrooms.
Right.
It is so alarming, and then eventually, what it ends up is designating the Bible as hate speech. I see that down the road.
Oh, I agree.
President Trump said at CPAC conference that the socialist end is communism. We use the word communism several times. We know what communism stands for.
Yep, I agree. Dr. Harper, how do folks find out more from you, and what's the website they can go to?
Oh, the Intermountain Christian News. For people to do a search for Intermountain Christian News, our website is imcnews.org. We have a YouTube website from a White House reporting, special report that I did from the White House last week regarding this Jewish holiday Purim and the implications for Jews worldwide.
Okay, perfect. Dr. Harper, as always, I appreciate it. Got to run to break. Thanks for calling in and give us an update, and you are welcome anytime, Dr. Anthony Harper. And you heard the website there just a moment ago. Golden Eagle Financial is next. Al Smith. And as you look to the future and try to make decisions based upon, you know, potentially inflation coming, I read a lot over the weekend in that particular regard and in what is coming down the pike. These are the things that Al can help you with when it comes to your financial planning of the future. He's a financial advisor. Talk to him today, 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
You don't need to worry about outliving your money or how to fund extended care. Your retirement plan with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial provides contingencies for big unexpected expenses or sudden losses in the stock market so you can rest easy. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, has spent more than 30 years listening to people's biggest worries about retirement, and he's ready to set your mind at ease. Al has always been a careful listener, and after decades of hearing people fret about whether or not their money would last, he decided to specialize in retirement planning so he could protect people from huge healthcare costs and market volatility. 16 years later, Al knows how to direct your assets to the right places, preserving your wealth for the rest of your life. Tell him your concerns, and he'll create a plan that will help you sleep well at night. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Barber's Foods, Greg Bloom, he'll join us. Actually, he's going to be around the studio a little later this week, so we'll talk to Greg at that time. But in the meantime, a lot of you probably read, and I was going to talk about this today, so now is a great time. March 20th, Governor Polis has issued as No Meat Day. Well, we want to counter that and do just the opposite. We want it to be All Meat Day. And I'm going to promote that all the way through March 20th because, number one, we are a beef state. I want us to continue to be a beef state. And I am not going to go without beef or meat or anything along those lines on March 20th just because the governor says so. So if you want to join me in actually countering what Governor Polis is doing on No Meat Day and actually eat meat, then get your meat today at Barber's Foods. Chicken, beef, bison, pork, you name it, he's got it all. And it's all online. Go to Barbers, that's with an S, barbersfoods.com.
To combat food inflation, Barber's Foods is offering great deals to help fill your freezer. Prices for soybeans and corn are up, and most farm animals are fed on corn and soy. So it's costing more to feed animals. That's why meat prices will be going up this year everywhere, an estimated 10 to 25%. To save money on high-quality meats, head over to barbersfoods.com and click on the Fill My Freezer page to see all of their specials. Colorado-produced ground beef in one-pound user-friendly packages, only $2.99 per pound. Pittman Farms boneless, skinless, air-chilled chicken breasts in small, easy-to-use packs for only $5.99 per pound. Barber's Foods knows the families that raise and process the meats they sell, so whether it's Pittman Farms air-chilled chicken, the Beeler family Duroc non-GMO pork, Colorado-grown beef, or any of the other meats they sell, they know that the animals were raised right and cared for humanely. Barber'sFoods.com, Colorado native-owned since 1949.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
You know what really saddens me? People become numb to actual cases of racism because it's not like racism doesn't exist. Yet people who cry racism at the top of their lungs marginalize the actual cases of racism.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I get a lot of information, by the way, that comes in from folks all over the country. In this case, I actually got an announcement that arrived in my inbox today from Walmart, which, yes, believe it or not, Walmart and their media team reach out, and they have special announcements they make on an ongoing basis. Today's announcement, this has to do with those of us in the Denver Front Range area, and that is that the express delivery for Walmart in the past has required a $35 minimum order. That is now no longer the case. You can order anything you want from Walmart, food, consumables, merchandise, you name it, and get express delivery, period, no matter what the order amount is. It could be $10. And they'll deliver it. This is most likely in a way for them to compete probably with Amazon Prime and some of the others that are out there. So some of you out there that have always been looking for that alternative to Amazon and some of the other things that are out there, well, guess what? You can now, especially in this area, order from Walmart, no minimums, and get express delivery right here in Colorado. So, and by the way, you can also do an in-store pickup. You guys have probably already known that all along. But anyways, that's an announcement that came out today from Walmart. So you can check that out. I'm assuming just go to walmart.com and it's all right there. All right, real quick, I do want to just touch on, I know Andy talked last week about CPAC and probably even played some of the clips from CPAC. So I will not do that today other than I do want to highlight South Dakota. Governor Noem talking about Fauci. And, of course, Fauci came back and responded to Governor Noem saying that, yeah, I'm sure you can get a standing ovation by saying I'm wrong. Well, I always called Dr. Fauci the little dictator anyways. And, boy, has that guy been wrong a lot. In fact, they're continuing to be wrong. And I think, you know, Kristi Noem was spot on when she basically said, listen, I was told that we'd have X amount of people in the hospital on such and such a date. And instead we had, you know, we were going to have 10,000, according to Dr. Fauci, we had 600. You know, these are the kind of outlandish things, by the way, that have been coming out of not only Dr. Fauci, but the CDC. And of course, they're loving the fact that Trump has gone to no longer keep any of those guys in check. Yes, I say it that way, keeping them in check. And I'll say this again, and I think if Donald Trump was sitting in the room with me right now and I was able to interview him candidly, I would guarantee you one of the things he would tell me as being one of his biggest mistakes of his presidency was the fact he didn't fire Fauci the first day Trump entered office. Because had he, the coronavirus outcome and where we're at today, I believe would be far different than it actually is. Dr. Fauci, for all of you that may not know this, is the highest paid United States federal employee that we have. Yes, even more than the president of the United States. He makes close to $500,000 a year in salary, not counting all of the other things that he makes when there are things developed and patents and all of those other things that go into that as well. So Dr. Fauci is compensated very well, probably better than the majority of you listening are. Better than the actual president of the United States is. Again, he is the highest paid federal employee that we, the American people that pay taxes, have on our payroll. And frankly, had I been president when I came into office, when Trump did, he would have been the first guy I would have canned. Now, hindsight's 2020. I get that. But this guy has been around in that role for, what is it now, Charlie? Three different presidencies, I want to say? All the way back to Bush, Obama, Trump, and now Biden. So I guess four presidencies he's now going through. Guys, it's time for this guy to leave and to let somebody else take over. I've said this, I will continue to say it, and I continue to observe it in the world around us, no matter where I'm at, whether I'm traveling locally or whether I'm traveling internationally. The Karens of the world, these infectious disease quote-unquote experts that we've now given the keys to the kingdom, have done nothing, literally nothing, but screw things up. They've ruined economies. They have cost people jobs. They have cost people their livelihood. They have caused suicides. I can go down the list. And folks, let me tell you, and I can say this with outstanding, the utmost confidence, that none of this COVID response has to do with your health. None. This is about control and control only. It is not about your health. And I've given so many examples on this show in the past year that I won't go into it right now, but I could give you literally example after example after example after example to where there is such a double standard and such hypocrites on their side and such a difference of treatment in who you are that this thing is so out of control, I'm not sure we're ever going to get the genie back in the bottle now. That's my fear. And I do say what I said the first segment when we opened up the show today, that I do believe people are tired. But I also am astounded. And I think as Charlie and I would go back and look back to a year, you know, past where we were on air, you know, last March 1st, basically getting into the early stages of COVID at that point. If you would have asked me then, would we have as many sheeple as we have today just following rules to follow rules and nobody thinking for themselves? I would have called you a liar then, because I'm guessing that about at least half, if not 60 to 70% of people just follow the rules to follow the rule, not having any idea of what they're doing. They're just doing it to make sure they don't get in trouble. That, combined with the fact that we have literally trained the Karens and Kevins, the brown shirts of the world, of the United States of America now, which I never thought I'd say this, we literally have trained people. Exact thing Hitler did, by the way, folks. Exact thing the Nazis did. We have trained people to do nothing but run around and be the police force for their neighbors. Gone are the days of, you know what, whatever you do, I'm good with, and whatever I do, I'm good with. No, no, no. We have to always be aware of what's going on around us to make sure that everybody's wearing their mask properly. It's over their nose and mouth, on and on and on we go. One of the airline flights I was just on, it was interesting. We had one of those stewards, I guess you would now call them, because he's not a stewardess, but a steward or flight attendant, maybe is a better word, Charlie, who had to make sure that he said over and over again that it was punishable by X amount of time in jail if you're not wearing your mask over your nose and mouth on the airplane. This guy literally had to have done the speech twice. Finally, this was the hilarious part, finally the captain comes on, who, by the way, is in charge of the whole ship, as you all know. He comes on and says, yeah, you know, I know there's this mask thing, guys. You've been hearing that. And, you know, we know there's a mandate from the, you know, he goes down the list from the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was kind of being funny running through the list and basically saying, yeah, you know, we get it. We're supposed to wear one. Please wear one. But he was doing it in a way where, you know, okay, fine, I'll wear it. The other guy was just being an A number one jerk in his announcement. My point is this, the two different tonalities, one to the other, the one guy's drunk on power, and yet the guy that really has the power, the captain, he's not. What's that old saying, Charlie? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, folks, that's where we're at today. We have literally given the Faucis of the world absolute power, and they are doing nothing but ruining the lives of those that they really don't care anything about. Governor Polis, by the way, fits right into that description because he does not care about the people of the great state of Colorado. I know Andy talked about the March 20th thing and the no meat day. But if Governor Polis had any idea of what his constituency was made up of and the fact that we are a great state of cattle ranchers, farmers, and so on, and we provide a substantial amount of beef across this country, if he had any idea of that, he wouldn't have ever thought of doing a no beef day on March 20th. Shows you how out of touch he is with the constituents and his citizens of Colorado. I should call him his subjects because that's what he thinks. He thinks he's King Polis and we're just a subject. American National Insurance is up next, folks. Hey, review your insurance now. In fact, one thing, and I'm working on this for somebody from Drive Radio as we speak, a lot of the roadside assistance programs will not allow you to ride in the tow truck, AAA, for example. Yeah, you could be 50 miles away from home. They'll haul the car home, but you've got to rent a car to get home because you can't ride with the tow truck driver. You can double check on how this works. In fact, American National Insurance does have a roadside assistance program built into their insurance you can ask Paul Leuenberger about. Call Paul today and ask about that, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right, Novus Auto Glass. In fact, Zach joined Drive Radio this past weekend and answered a lot of questions for you all. And I appreciate Zach and all the guys at Novus. And folks, literally, anytime you need something, a windshield replacement, windshield repair, whether you're looking for a side mirror, even the headlamps and getting those cleared up, they can do all of that. It's Novus Auto Glass. You can find them on the website, rushtoreason.com/Novus, and that's N-O-V-U-S.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at rushtoreason.com.
All right, Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. And as you look to the future, folks, and we all do at times, make sure that it's planned out correctly when it comes to your estate. And Michael can get that done for you. And we talked to Michael enough to where, hey, this is not a big deal, doesn't cost a lot of money, and is something everybody should have done. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning, 720-394-6887.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, those who prepare shall not fear. KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
Power-hungry public health departments are out of control. How did we get to a place in America where unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats seize the power to shut down our businesses and control our lives? Kim Munson here. Tuesday, Dr. James Lyons Weiler explains how we can rein in the power of public health departments. Plus, businessman Nate Orman shares why he is working to recall 4 Douglas County school board members. Tune into these important conversations Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Keep freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion alive by contributing to support The Kim Munson Show at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie's rounding up Jarrett Stepman for us. Daily Signal, we'll get him on here in just a few minutes. And again, for those of you that may not know Jarrett that well and may be listening for the first day, Daily Signal, he also does a lot of things for Heritage. Heritage.org is where you can find him, writes a lot of articles, does a lot of great work, and we get the opportunity each week to talk to Jarrett and really get an update on things that really are pertinent, and I do appreciate that very much. Jarrett is a wealth of information and really just shares his wealth there on a weekly basis, and I appreciate the time that he takes with us each and every week. So joining us now, Jarrett Stepman. Jarrett, welcome. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much. I'm doing pretty well.
Weather, how are we doing back there?
It's actually just starting to turn. We're just starting to get to spring. Now, as soon as I say that, of course, we're going to have probably another cold snap. But I am excited for spring. It feels like it's been one long extended winter since last March. So I'm very excited for things start moving around again to be able to get outside.
When's the best time, by the way? I know I could look this up, but since you're there, you could tell me. When's the best time to go look at all the cherry blossoms?
Oh, you have to go in early April. There's like a good week in the first week of April, and it's absolutely beautiful. Those trees actually were a gift from Japan well over a century ago. They're made of the original trees. Mm. It is absolutely beautiful. I absolutely suggest that people make at least one visit in their lifetime to see the tidal basin in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I never have, and that's something that's on my bucket list to do, Jarrett. So I will have to do that one of these days and look you up and have some lunch or something when I do that.
That would be wonderful. It's really something, it's a remarkable thing to see. It's incredibly beautiful. But unfortunately, sometimes the blossoms get taken off the trees and you get a big storm. So
yep.
you got to be kind of planning your trip just right to get there in time.
Makes sense. All right, let's talk about H.R. 1 for the People Act that's up in Congress this week.
Yeah, it's really an incredible piece of legislation. I call it really a grab bag of goodies, mostly for the far left, that would fundamentally change the American electoral voting system, essentially nationalize it. And many of the problems, I think, that were present in 2020 would essentially become a federal law, including mail-in balloting. It would end things like voter ID. It would essentially force states to allow felons to vote, things like this. It's really a brazen attack both on federalism, I think, First Amendment rights. I think there's a lot of constitutional issues. Interesting that it's called the For the People Act. They're billing this as somehow a piece to save democracy, as they call it. But the legislation itself is quite radical.
Okay, so at the end of the day, okay, we're calling this For the People Act, but really this isn't for the people, this is for the politicians.
Oh, it's absolutely for the politicians. It's especially for those who are in the left. They think that they can secure power through this. I think it ends a lot of the especially the state-based, because our system, our voting system, is fundamentally based on the states. That is a system called federalism. That's how the Constitution works. This system would essentially undermine that. In fact, I would say federalism, as far as voting, would be completely dead in this country. It would essentially nationalize the entire system under this law. And as I said, there are definitely constitutional concerns when it comes to this, but how it would change it, essentially it takes the power of even reforming or making your state's election laws out of your hands. It puts it in the hands of the federal government, the politicians in D.C.
Which we do not want, ever.
No, absolutely not. And I think that's what's really dangerous about this. It was something that came up a few years ago, didn't have much chance of passing under President Trump. I think now they think that there's potentially a pathway to passing this law. Of course, the Senate, where it's really going to have trouble getting past the filibuster proof majority. But I think that it is going to be a close-run thing. It is going to make dramatic changes to our election system. And again, I think it's going to undermine American confidence in their election. I mean, it's stripping away some, I think, very important reforms. Again, like voter ID that exists in many states around the country. I think it needs to be apparent in more states, but basically it takes that power out of the hands of those states. Those laws would basically be defunct if this thing passed.
Yeah, essentially what we would have for everybody listening, and while this might sound really, really good on paper, Jarrett, that we would have this, you know, quote-unquote unified election system from one end of the country to the other. And again, it's what I just said, that sounds really great. The problem with that, Jarrett, is what you just said, and it takes away all states' rights and how they want to run their own elections.
It absolutely does. In fact, one of the kind of hidden parts of the law, too, is that it ends a lot of, I think, restrictions on donor disclosure. I think that's a big part of this law. Essentially, they want to make it so that people can't make donations secretly. Of course, this is a part of cancel culture and all that. I think it's very much dangerous. And another thing that's added to this thing was opening up the gateway to D.C. statehood, which I think has been a very popular issue on the left. I think the idea is really just get...
But the Founding Fathers, you know, correct me if I'm wrong real quick, Jared, not to step on you there, but correct me if I'm wrong, that was never the intention of the Founders to have D.C. be a state. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely not. The creation of a federal district was a very important part of this country. They wanted to create a district outside of the control of states. They wanted to essentially be a place for the federal government to meet and convene. It was never intended to be a state. This has been a big movement in Washington, D.C. It's been a big movement, I think, in the national media to get D.C. statehood, as if Washington, D.C. doesn't already have enough power in this country.
Right.
But they need statehood
right.
additionally. And I think
right.
that's a large part of this. It's simply, and it really goes along with the rest of this bill, it's simply a power grab. I mean, that's what it ultimately amounts to. And adding these things to this large grab bag bill, I think, under the American people's noses, is part of what makes it so dangerous.
And here's the other part that makes it so dangerous and shows you how politicians have a way of misleading people even when they go and try to pass bills. Here, I'm going to read to you the headline, a paragraph, if you would, of the bill itself. To expand Americans' access to the ballot box, reduce the influence of big money in politics, strengthen ethics rules for public servants, and implement other anti-corruption measures for the purpose of fortifying our democracy and for other purposes. And, Jarrett, that sounds really, really great until you read all of what you just talked about a moment ago.
It really is about the fine print there. I find that amusing calling it fortifying democracy. I think what they call fortifying democracy, when you really get in between the lines of this legislation, is really subverting our Republican and federal system. I mean, that's what it comes down
to. Well, but you know what? Let me throw this out to you and ask you this question as well, because I firmly believe that most Democrats would love to have a democracy, because in a democracy, it's majority rules and away we go. That's like two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner that night. That's what they would love to have, where you and I, we look at it and say, we have a constitutional republic, we have equal representation, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah, I think that's a really important distinction, I think, in the views of how our government should work. I mean, this country was based, it is a federal republic. There are democratic elements of our system.
But we're not a democracy.
Like voting. But we are not fundamentally a democracy. It's something the founders were very much concerned about. Democracies of the past never found a way to function. Most of them ended up like many of the Greek democracies. They, at one moment they could have a good law, just the next moment they're, you know, murdering somebody. I mean, with the mob, that's essentially mob rule. Bringing us closer to a pure democracy opens up that kind of system to the United States. It's an incredibly unstable one. It's an incredibly unpredictable one. I think when the left uses words like democracy, I think it just means good things I like, but I think those changes would be very bad. So even using the use of the term democracy, I think is very much a misnomer, and I think it's misleading.
Well, and I agree with you on that, although I will tell you that my belief is they continue to use that word over and over and over again to where they've even got folks on the right, conservatives, using the word democracy. I do my best to never use it because, to your point a moment ago, we are not one. And I think every time we use it, we actually weaken the republic and we, in fact, strengthen democracy, which is the last thing we want.
Yeah, because, and often, a purely democratic system is a tyrannical one. And ultimately, that the founders wanted to create a system, what they were most worried about was tyranny. And democracy, just as much as monarchy or an all-powerful aristocracy, will lead ultimately to tyranny. Instead, they wanted to create a balanced system. They wanted to balance the powers of government. That's why we have a federal system. And that goes back to, you know, when we're talking about H.R. 1. It essentially throws out of whack a federal system,
right,
created to have power check power. Once it becomes too concentrated in the hands of the federal government, you know, we no longer have a republic. And I think that that's the real danger when you have laws like this, is it undermines our federal system, but it's already been very much undermined. I think we'd like to preserve that.
Yet, Jarrett, everything you just said, by the way, fully agree with. Yet, if I were to take the headline of this bill, print it out, go out on any street corner across the United States of America, and read that headline, every one of them would say, yeah, I'm for that.
And that's how Washington, D.C. works. I mean, you create something that has a very, you know, kind of watered down, sounds like a nice thing, a For the People Act, and it sounds great on its face. You know, who couldn't be for the people?
Right.
But, of course, when you read through oftentimes thousands of pages of legislation, you realize this is not a For the People Act. This is a For the Activists, For the Lobbyists, For the Politicians Act. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen that with so many of the bills recently, certainly with many of these COVID relief plans that have gone through Congress, have been absolutely, I think, embarrassing to the country. We see that with this too. When there's just such a grab bag of things that seem out of whack when you're talking about reforming our system to make our electoral system more safe, many of the things that it does here is the exact opposite. It makes it less safe. It makes it even more opaque. And I think that's a real problem, especially when you consider all the issues that propped up in 2020 and how many Americans lost a lot of faith in that system. I think this just doubles down on that. I think that makes it a lot worse. Yep. It makes it harder for Americans to have trust that system, to have trust in voting.
And real quick, folks, and I know, Jerry, we're always tight on time, but I want to take just a couple more minutes because I want to read a couple of parts of this just to prove your point of what you're saying. Part one is promoting internet registration. Part two is automatic voter registration. Part three, same day voter registration. Do you see where we're going here, Jarrett? We're trying to get this to where, in my opinion, every one of those says we want to promote election fraud.
I think that's what it comes down to. Or we want to make a system that's so porous and so unsafe that fraud becomes very easy.
That's right.
It becomes harder to track.
That's right.
And that's really what they want. They don't want, of course, open fraud in the system. They want to make it difficult to figure out if fraud is going to happen.
That's right.
And I think that's what those so-called reforms, what they do, and why a lot of Americans who say, you know, I know the media didn't really look too hard into this issue, but all these things suggest to me that there may be some real problems where there is fraudulent votes, where there are people who are getting ballots mailed to them who weren't really voters in that state. And I think that's a problem. What this does is it just opens up that can of worms even further. It just makes,
yep,
double down on the problems we had and makes it a whole lot worse.
On top of that, folks, Part 10 is voter registration of minors, acceptance of voter registration applications from individuals under 18 years of age. Jarrett, this thing is so ripe with problems that, to your point earlier, this is not for the people. This is against the people.
It really is. And what's scary is right now it's pretty much just the filibuster that is holding this thing back from passing into legislation, I mean, passing into law in this country. I mean, it's very close.
Wow.
To actually becoming a law and essentially undermining all the states. I mean, if your state opposes any of these reforms, well, too bad. There's going to be a
right.
conflict between you and the federal government. And
right.
I think that's what's so scary about these kinds of bills is that you don't even have a choice. I mean, if you're Texas or you're Oklahoma, you're just going to have to obey these laws
else,
and you're going to have your election system undermined from here on out. And that's how close we are to having these massive, I think, terrible changes to make our system more in quote democratic. I think it's a terrible thing.
Well, one last question, I'll let you go. If in fact this does pass, which to your point a moment ago, it may very well, does it have enough legal standing to you know, have muster which there'll be lawsuits that come out against this? Because this is, in my opinion, a very unconstitutional bill.
You know, I think parts of it will possibly be ruled unconstitutional. But, you know, these are going to be things that are going to be tested in the courts. And really, do you want to leave this up to the court system to have to sort out?
No.
Where large parts of this law will just become law and will maybe be unconstitutional, still get into law.
Well,
I mean, so I think that's the real danger here. You can't just simply rely on the courts or the Supreme Court to invalidate things that are flagrantly unconstitutional.
Great point. Jarrett, as always, I appreciate you taking time out of your day for us, Daily Signal and Heritage.org. I appreciate it very much, sir. Have a great week.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And folks, trust me, I mean when I say this, this is one of the few things, and I know there's a lot we talk about, but I think this is one of the few things where you could literally say, if H.R. 1 does in fact pass, it gets out of the filibuster, and it does in fact pass, as Jarrett talked about a moment ago, I think in the not-too-distant future, you could kiss the republic goodbye, and you will be a full-out democracy. Yes, I said that. And by the way, you're not hearing about H.R. 1 very many places. I honestly learned about this from Jarrett because this is not, even on the conservative side of the fence, in too many comments or threads, things that are going on even in the media world. So this is something to get the word out, H.R. 1, and we need to make sure that it does not make this out of the Senate, because if it does, we're in trouble. AscendHealth Center is up next, folks. Dr. Julie Marchio, if you want to just feel better, have more energy, sleep better at night, any of those things, and if you're just having struggles in certain areas of your health and you want some help and somebody to keep you in check, go see AscendHealth Center today, 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy. But you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
Hey, folks, last week we got a lot of snow. Yes, I missed it, but it's great. I can still see the white out on a lot of our grassy areas that are out there. And some of you may have been involved in a fender bender, an accident of some kind, in all of that. There's a great mobile estimating tool on the Good Shops website. You can find that by going to klzradio.com. But it's the place to go if you need anything fixed when it comes to the collision end of things and get your vehicle fixed better than new. That's what a good shop does. 720-541-7697, or again, find them at klzradio.com.
Al and his team at a good shop continue to improve because they want to help more people.
Al Sturm started A Good Shop because he saw a need. Back when he worked as an insurance adjuster, Al got a call from a confused customer looking for some help after a collision. Once Al had walked him through his insurance claim, this customer wanted to know what he should do next. Al told him, the first thing you do is find a good shop. Even back then, Al saw the way the corporate conglomerates ran the auto body industry. They dictated the process so their customers didn't have much of a choice. Al wanted to give his customers options. Today, Al and his team at A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City keep on finding new ways to control the quality of their work so they can provide an alternative to the big guys. After a collision, the first thing you do is find a good shop. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Your company is bleeding time and money, and John Rush will find those leaks. You're too stuck in day-to-day weeds to step back and see the big picture. You need a qualified, experienced business coach to take stock of your expenses and see where you and your employees are wasting time and money. John firmly believes that every business owner needs a coach because you're too close to the situation to be objective. Email John now and make more money. John@rushtoreason.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, real quick, I just want to get this in. I can talk more about this later on actual COVID stats. But folks, I said this earlier, and I got a text message back that said if Fauci had been fired, the response to COVID would be far worse than it is now. Folks, I don't know how it could get any worse than it has been already. We've literally shut down businesses. People have lost lives over this, have lost livelihoods over this. Frankly, I couldn't think of a more worse response that we've had through this versus the other. And real quick, as a side note, worldwide, total population versus cases. Cases are 1.5% of total population. Cases, not deaths, cases. Deaths, 0.03% if you're looking at worldwide population versus death numbers. Here in the USA, we're at 8% of the population has had COVID. It could be much higher, I know, because not everybody gets tested. Same thing on the worldwide, and I understand that. But deaths here in the US, 0.15%. And that includes all of the comorbidities and even our older individuals that got ill, which, you know, again, we don't want anybody to die. I've never said that. I would never insinuate that. But folks, we all will. My point is this. I'm not sure you could even qualify this other than the fact the virus went worldwide, that we're even in a pandemic. So, yes, the response has been way, way, way more than it needed to be from the get-go. And I will stand by that till I go to the grave. Purefoy Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. If you're looking to buy a newer used car or truck, it is the place to go. And I can tell you right now, car prices will increase as we go down the path here in the future. So buy a car now. Find them online at purefoychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
Going into the showroom at Purefoy Chevrolet, one of the things that struck me is that the people that work there, they're just regular people. You talk to the guy that's helping you, and you get the sense of, this is just another person. He wants to help me. He wants to make sure that I get the right car. He's asking the right questions, but without being pushy. I just get a sense that he's really invested in what I need to find for my family and for me.
Rolly Purefoy is not somebody who would ever brag about himself, but he has an incredible history with Chevrolet, and that's why he cares about those vehicles so much. He's actually been a test driver for some of the models, and he's even had some input in the design. If you just ask Rolly some questions about his history, he has the most fascinating stories. He's one of those owners who will just chat with you like an ordinary person. He's just one of those people you really need to meet. I would highly recommend Purefoy Chevrolet. They're a really remarkable group of people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Loveland and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, before I get all the hate mail, folks, I did look up the actual definition. And by definition, a true pandemic causes a high degree of mortality, i.e. death. The numbers I just gave you, they do not constitute or define a high degree of mortality. So I will argue that we're not even in a pandemic, although that's what's been shoved upon us by the left and the news media, which, by the way, are one and the same. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two is next. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. But we will be back. Hour number two, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.